Hey, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen. I think we got him on the line, do we, Dave?
I'm here.
All righty, fantastic. And we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Monday, November 12th, 2018. Oh, man, what a day it has been, Dave. A crazy, crazy, hectic day, and we got a lot to talk about. Let's first go ahead and get to the market report today. And, of course, you know, markets were open. Post offices and banks, I do believe, was closed in honor of Veterans Day, which was actually yesterday. And just kind of always, it kind of cracked me up. A lot of the programs this morning was acting like today was Veterans Day. No, it was yesterday, ladies and gentlemen. You know, you give them a day off and they just get all confused. But I think also we have James Corbett on this week, and he just finished a documentary on the ending of the World War One, and about you know, the same many of the same things that truly brought on World War One is very similar to what is happening today. So I'm anxious to talk to James about what he found, and so you listeners will have to mark your calendar for Friday to see what he brings you. So, or you can just go to his website, thecorbettreport.com, and check out the documentary on World War One. So let's go ahead and get to the gold prices today. And of course, there was probably a lot of people out today, and we saw pressure on gold down $860. In the New York spot price aftermarket, $1,201.80. Silver was down 15 cents today at $14.11. Platinum was down 12 bucks today at $844. And palladium was down 17 at $1,100. The USDX today, well, I bet you couldn't guess. It was stronger at 0.66 at 97.56. Crude oil got hit once again, 1.34 at 58.85. And the paper markets today, earlier I was following them. They were down triple digits, 500 points. Let's see where they're at. They tried to bring them back. 600 points on the Dow, 2.32%, 25,387. And the NASDAQ was down almost 3%, down 206 points at 7,200. The S&P was down also 2% at 2,000, just shy of 2%, 2,726. 10-year yield, the bond market was closed today, it was 3.19. The euro was also weaker. European Asia markets were basically on flat and unchanged. Bitcoin hasn't really moved in the past, you know, in months. It's been holding the 6,300 level for months. I guess I shouldn't laugh at Bitcoin considering gold, the prices. However, gold is real. Bitcoin is not. Gold is real money. Bitcoin is not. So just keep that in mind. And I saw an article earlier today, Dave, that it's actually the millennials. And of course, they are going to embrace the, you know, the digital world sooner than later. Sooner, you know, they'll keep cash going until us baby boomers are no longer here to impede their way of the, you know, the cashless society. But anyway, I'm rambling today, and so we saw 600 points fall today. Apple shares declined, as I mentioned, the rise in the U.S. dollar. Let's see. Lumentum CEO Alan Lowe said one of its largest customers asked the company to materially reduce shipments. I guess that's Apple for its products. Shares of Lumentum plunged 30%. Holy smokes. The decline in Apple pressured the broader technology sector.
Yeah, that's true. Peter Buchvar, who's chief investment officer at Bleakley Advisory Group, said the FANG trade is dead and the market is struggling to find a replacement. Alphabet and Amazon were both down, Alphabet 2.5%, Amazon 4.5%. Amazon shares also traded just short of bear territory, down just shy of 20% from its 52-year high. But getting back to Bookvar, the market's struggling to find a replacement. Well, we here at Discount Gold and Silver have an idea. It's called Gold and Silver. Prices are great and risk is low. So give us a call now at 1-800-375-4188. The dollar index, as Melody said, was also up today, hit its highest level since late June of last year. It also hit a more than 1 year high against the euro, as well as the Swiss franc. Investors apparently fretted over the possibility of an escalation in global trade war rhetoric. Melody.
Well, you know, Axios came out with a report about automobile tariffs, and this is just right before that President Trump and the Chinese President Xi Jinping is set to meet at the G20 summit later this month, and it looks like the president is thinking about maybe some more tariffs on overseas-made cars, and thinking that this might be his best negotiating tactic on trade. Some of the reports said Trump has told aides he was able to get a better trade deal with Canada because he threatened Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau with levies on the cars that were made in Canada. So, you know, he's been considering maybe a 25% charge on automobiles made outside the U.S. We've heard this talk, you know, since earlier this year. So governments don't like it. Automakers don't like it. And, you know, they're saying that it is going to cost more and hurt sales and jobs.
And all of that good stuff. I mean, analysts are cautious. Particularly as Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping get set to meet at the G20 summit in Argentina later this month. The U.S.-China conflict extends beyond trade to areas like technology, intellectual property rights, market access, industry policy, and, you know, it ultimately centers on a competition between the two economic superpowers. China, as we know, is part of their 2025 plan and 2040, are already talking about seeking global, at least global economic dominance. But it's not clear if China is going to be able to, you know, make visible changes beyond trade, you know, like market access or IP protection, and whether the U.S. will prioritize its demand list to reflect those other issues.
Well, you know, this afternoon, President Trump tried to dissuade OPEC from taking supply off the market in his latest tweet at the cartel, as we saw that oil prices turned negative among this sell-off in U.S. stocks today. And as we mentioned, the U.S. crude threatening to post an 11 straight day of losses, and it's actually its longest losing streak on record. Well, we did see that the crude futures got a little bit of a boost earlier in the day after the Saudi Arabia's energy minister said OPEC and its allies may need to cut crude production by about 1 million barrels per day to prevent the market from swinging into oversupply. And but the evidence is building that OPEC and a group of exporters, and which also includes Russia, is going to agree to throttle back output when they meet next month.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. You know, however, crude futures have pulled back sharply during the last 5 weeks, with U.S. crude sinking into a bear market. U.S. West Texas Intermediate crude posted its longest losing streak, as Melody just said, that in more than 34 years, falling at that point on Friday for 10 straight selling days and selling 21% below its 52-week high. Brent crude closed, its weakest closing price in 7 months. Looks like crude futures got swept up in a broader market sell-off that's seeing investors shed risk assets, you know, particularly last month. It's still going on today and this month. Rising oil supplies from the U.S., OPEC, and Russia, and forecasts for weaker than expected demand growth have kept pressure on that market. You know, the world's appetite for oil now looks ready to grow by about 1.3 million barrels per day. That's compared with BP's earlier expectation for 1.4 to 1.5 million barrels per day.
Well, you know, we started to see the drop in oil prices just as the sanctions on Iran were beginning to ramp up and so forth. And even with the decision from the White House to allow eight countries to continue importing some of Iranian crude, it sort of eased the concerns about supply shortages and the steady loss of Iranian barrels since the Trump announced the sanctions in May pushed the oil prices to nearly four-year highs last month. So now those factors are now forcing OPEC, Russia, and other ones, other exporting nations, to consider a fresh round of supply cuts. So the committee was tasked with monitoring the production agreement, concluded that oil supplies were growing faster than demand requires, threatening to leave the market oversupplied.
Yeah, Melody, it's good to fill the car for $30 these days instead of $40. $10 here and there, you know, all of a sudden we got more disposable income to buy another coin.
That whole $10, you betcha. It's almost an ounce of silver you can buy, ladies and gentlemen. So
there you go. That's it. That's what we're looking for. Well, you know, even though this isn't directly related to gold and silver, you know, it's still weighing heavily on our minds here at Discount Gold and Silver. You know, authorities are searching for more than 200 people who are unaccounted for in one of the wildfires rampaging through parts of California. That's voicing concern about a possible rising death toll with gusty, dry winds expected to fan the flames. The so-called Camp Fire, which is California's most destructive wildfire on record, has already left at least 228 people missing as of early this morning. That's according to the sheriff of that Northern California, Butte County. That fire, one in Southern California, killed at least 31 people. Both fires had been whipped up by these hot, dry winds and are expected to continue through at least Tuesday evening, according to officials out there. The winds were expected to heighten the risk of fresh blazes, being ignited by scattered embers. More than 224,000 people, Melody, have been displaced by the fire so far. The campfire, which is 40 miles north of Sacramento, has burned down more than 6,700 homes and businesses in the town of Paradise, which I heard earlier this afternoon has been completely destroyed by this fire. Just utterly devastating.
Yeah, I know that there's other fires going on, but I guess this is the most severe. And there's reports that the blaze probably has caused between 2 billion and 4 billion. So, you know, what they record, so you can just multiply that by three, is probably the real numbers to where it will actually cost. The fire has scorched more than 113,000 acres, and it is only 25% contained. And to see the pictures, they're frightening when you see these pictures. And with those winds and the pine trees and that dry brush, that's like explosions. And if you haven't experienced, I mean, sure, we get high winds and stuff here, but boy, yeah, those fires can leap across canyon and canyon to canyon in a manner of minutes.
Changing your life in a matter of seconds.
Yes, and I think that's what causes so many people to become unaware. You know, they're sleeping, and the next thing you know, it's there. And it's a terrible, terrible things.
Yeah. Well, Governor Jerry Brown has asked the president to declare a major disaster to bolster the emergency response and to help residents recover. He said, right now, what's needed is really support. So we our thoughts and prayers are with the folks, the victims, those hoping for the best, the first responders, everybody involved in the life-saving, property-saving efforts in California, Melody.
And there's already discussions of, you know, various things and you know, living out there. Controlled burns are very important. Keeping that dry pine needles and stuff cleaned out and so forth is so important. And it is true, the environmentalists and so forth, they don't do it enough. And when living out there for almost 30 years, I mean, that was important. And just like I remember the Yellowstone big fire, I don't know if that was late 80s, somewhere around in the 80s sometime, I think. Could have been early 90s, but I think it was the 80s. And their fire, Yellowstone Park, happened in July. And it was, they were expecting the monsoons, so they didn't do anything to counteract this fire. And it isn't funny, but, and the monsoons didn't come. And they were, and then it was just too late. They couldn't control the fire, and thousands and thousands and thousands of acres. And when we visited Yellowstone, they were still there. Was, you know, it was still burnt. No new growth, some new growth, but you know, not a lot. And so, it's you know, sometimes you're darned if you do and darned if you don't. And those pine trees, they pop, they explode like little miniature bombs. It's incredible how fast a pine tree can burn. And so we have lots and lots of customers in California. So I hope you're all safe. And as Dave said, we'll keep you in our thoughts and prayers. But Department of Education is seeking student loan repayment from vets. Okay. So although yesterday was technically Veterans Day, today is the official government and bank holiday, and we were dismayed to see that the U.S. Department of Education continues to seek repayment on more than $1 billion in federal student loans from tens of thousands of severely disabled veterans who have been deemed unable to work and are eligible for student loan forgiveness. The news comes out of a Freedom of Information. Are they not eligible for student loan forgiveness?
They are.
They are eligible.
They are, just the information's not getting to them.
So then you have the Department of Education that's going after them?
Yeah, they're student loan providers, mainly Nelnet, who work on the government's behalf, are going after them.
We'll talk a little bit about this when we get back from our break. Please stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit the website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for the weekly newsletter, and it's Veterans Day. It's going to be another Dave, you have your article in there, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, but it's going to be another quickie for the newsletter this week, and then we'll get back into some added information next week. But it's still in, that's all the market reports in there for the week, and Dave's article, and of course Wendy Wilson's Apothecary Herbs article. Going into the break, we were talking about the student loan repayment from vets, and the Freedom of Information Act request filed by Veterans Education Success, which is a nonprofit that provides free services to veterans, back in June, that was answered around Veterans Day in response to this advocacy group's request. Well, that's a mouthful. Mm-hmm. The Education Department says it has identified more than 40,000 service members who qualify to have their student debt canceled through what is called a total and permanent disability discharge. More than 25,000 of them are in default, however, and just 8,500 have even applied for the forgiveness. The government did not say it has discharged any of the debts of these eligible veterans.
Yeah, for one thing, for-profit schools, Melody, have come under scrutiny for targeting veterans, and military students are more likely to attend the colleges compared with civilians. Defaulting on student loans, as we know, can be financially devastating for anyone, let alone disabled veterans who are often living in poverty and are unable to work. It results in lower credit scores, allows the government to garnish the borrower's tax refunds, as well as a portion of their Social Security benefits. You know, consumer advocacy groups say it is. Are now urging the Education Department to automatically discharge the debt of these individuals. Currently, those folks have to apply to have their debt canceled. You know, earlier this year, the Department of Ed attempted to make this process easier by sending out a letter to certain disabled vets notifying them of their eligibility for a loan discharge. However, advocates say that many of those veterans may be unable to respond because they're paralyzed, or worse, have severe brain injuries and just aren't able to communicate.
Well, there's even some others that may have never opened the letter or believed it was a scam. You know, since you have these borrowers, they are frequently warned to stay away from claims of loan forgiveness. The Education Department has argued that it can't automatically discharge student debt of disabled veterans because it would trigger a tax bill for the borrower. Okay. The IRS used to consider such canceled debts as taxable income. However, a provision in the new tax code waives federal income taxes on forgiven education debt for disabled veterans. So now the Education Department says it can't automatically discharge the debt because of potential state tax implications. So this Mark Cantrowitz said, which he's a student loan expert, said that it was just an excuse. Very few states, if any, would include the discharge of student loans in income.
Yeah, that would be a new one. Based on my humble experience. You know, listeners, we do have some suggested pointers up on our Facebook page. If you're a disabled veteran with student debt, or know of a family member or someone else, The Education Department and the Department of Veteran Affairs have worked together to identify those veterans who are eligible for student debt cancellation. The letter notifying you of your eligibility comes from student loan servicers like Nelnet, as well as the Department of Education. And this is what it typically says. You know, if you haven't received the letter, the Education Department walks you through how to apply forgiveness at this website, disabilitydischargeoneword.com. That's disabilitydischarge.com. Now, they also say ignore any services claiming they can help you get your student loans forgiven for a fee. They are scams, says Veterans Education Success. Instead, that organization provides free assistance. Their email address is help@veteranseducationsuccess.org. That's help@veteranseducationsuccess.org. So on behalf of the entire team at Discount Gold and Silver, our heartfelt thanks to all the veterans out there for your dedicated service and sacrifice.
Absolutely. You know, Alibaba is very similar to Amazon, except Alibaba is a Chinese e-commerce behemoth. And they cooked this up about 10 years ago called Singles Day. And they promote it heavily. And after 24 hours of this frenzied buying and selling, with tons and weeks of advertising and promotions before it, they announced, Alibaba, that its sales hit another titanic high on Singles Day, and that is November 11th. This time, as China's vast economy slows, the party was held with icebergs in sight from the deck. China's biggest online shopping company kicked off the country's biggest shopping day. Its Saturday night gala event, Shanghai, featured the singer Mariah Carey, the retired basketball star Allen Iverson, and Miranda Kerr, the Australian supermodel. A Chinese girl group performed a song, Wanna Buy, Wanna Buy, that's B-U-I, as backup dancers pushing shopping carts bearing the logo of Aldi, the German discount grocer. Can you see Amazon doing that with Bezos? I mean, Bezos?
No. Short answer, no. Oh, that's good funny. Grief. You know, at the stroke of midnight on Monday, this morning, Alibaba said it had racked up, get this, $30.8 billion with a B in sales the day before. That's measured by its own metric, gross merchandise value. That handily topped last year's record number at the time, $25.3 billion. This is no small change for this country. You know, all around China, gloom and certainty are the word, though. You know, economic growth is slowing there. The country's hundreds of millions of middle-class shoppers seem to be holding on more tightly to their pocketbooks. You know, tech companies reportedly are antsy about the government's more interventionist attitude toward big business. The tariff fight with the U.S. is casting a pulse, not simply over trade, but over China's goal of future global dominance. You know, Alibaba is not like Amazon in that it is not a retailer. It just provides the digital shelves and aisles for other merchants to sell their goods. But its relentless ambition, Alibaba may be Amazon's only global equal. You know, both companies want to fulfill their customers' every desire and need.
Well, you know, they are kind of similar because Amazon does the same thing. They just provide shelves for businesses to sell their product. But I know Alibaba really wants the United States to open our markets so we could have similar, so we could sell our goods to China. They could sell, you know, as a, that is, I think, his number, Alibaba's, not Bezos, but Alibaba's Jack Ma. I think that's what he really wants. That's his goal, is to open up the markets.
Well, Jack needs to step up at next year's Davos summit, you know, and possibly, you know, have a show, although in the background at, you know, the G20 summit in Buenos Aires later on this month. Maybe he just isn't getting the ear of the right people.
Well, you know, this week in the American Survival Newsletter, you wrote an article about Alan Greenspan's seven risks to the economy. And, I mean, per se, I'm not a fan of Alan Greenspan's because of his monetary policy. And, you know, he was part of what brought us here where we are today. But he understands gold and the markets and inflation. I mean, he's written books and his thesis and everything back in the 60s. He wrote about all about gold. He is a gold believer. He was then. And somewhere along the line, I'm not saying he sold out, but, you know, he decided to put his belief and the truth aside, and he became our Fed chairman. And so when he recognizes, I believe, seven risks to the economy, I think it's worth looking at those seven risks as you did, Dave. And so maybe you can tell us about what those several risks are that he sees and how do they compare with the risk that we see.
Sure. My feelings exactly, by the way, about Mr. Greenspan. Not a big fan of his per se, but like you, I, you know, these are the same risks that you and I have been talking about, Melody, all year long. You for many years before that. It just seemed to be a good time, given you know, the topsy-turvy paper markets, that, you know, we highlight them. You know, Greenspan, you know, who many listeners know, served as Fed chair for two decades, from the mid-1980s to the early years of the new millennium. You know, that period, 1987 to 2006, featured many ups, downs, and all-arounds. You know, they, you know, made up the political and moral vagaries of four presidents: Reagan, Bush 41, Clinton, and Bush Jr. However, on paper, it was an era of fairly vigorous economic growth. You know, although we're usually fairly critical of the Fed and its members, both past and present, we're not averse to remarking favorably on them when they do or say something we happen to agree with. And so is the case with Alan Greenspan, who in a recent interview with Barron's magazine warned of a number of dangers lurking under the surface of the so-called bright U.S. economy.
And, you know, and one of those, the first risk is the ballooning U.S. federal budget deficit. And it's no surprise to everyone that the budget deficits has been exploding our national debt to unsustainable levels. And in fact, I just want to say that Wall Street also had an article today how the U.S. is on course to spend more on debt than defense.
Huh. Yeah, that that'll soon be more on interest on the public debt than defense, and by the end of the next decade or so. You know, our national debt, held by the public, that's opposed to gross national debt. You know, it excludes the public held by the debt, excludes Social Security, Medicare, trust funds, and all the other intra-governmental holdings, is over $16.1 trillion. That's an astounding 78% of GDP. That's the highest level since right after World War II. Now, including all debt, including the governmental trust funds, you know, it's on its way to $22 trillion and 105% of GDP. And if current laws generally remained unchanged, which, you know, they won't be, the Congressional Budget Office projects growing budget deficits are going to boost that debt sharply over the next 50 years. It would approach, that's debt held by the public now, would approach 100% of GDP by the end of next decade, and 152% by 2048, obviously the highest in the nation's history so far. But if lawmakers change current law to maintain certain tax and spending policies now in place, For example, preventing a significant increase in individual income taxes in 2026 when they run out under last December's tax cuts. The result would be even more massive, increases in debt. You know, Greenspan told Barron's, crises get generated after a period of time when you disregard something. Well, most recently, we've disregarded the federal budget. We're going to have a $1 trillion deficit in the next fiscal year. That's his words. You know, in theory, you know, countries can counter budget deficits by reducing government spending and increasing taxes. Well, the U.S. has done just the opposite by a winking nod to the tried and failed theory of trickle-down economics. You know, last December, Congress and the White House reduced taxes, with the biggest benefits so far going to large multinational corporations and the wealthiest of individuals in our country. And Congress compounded the problem by subsequently enacting this consolidated appropriation bill with record spending for both defense and non-defense agencies. You know, as we'll be talking about in the coming weeks, as Melody's alluded to in the past week or two, the continuing resolution, which covers, you know, those agencies that weren't a part of this consolidated appropriations bill, their funding runs out December 7th. And so, you know, the government's going to face another shutdown debate at that time. But, you know, in any event, the tax cuts and the appropriation bills, those two acts alone will increase our national debt by almost $500 billion in fiscal year 2019, which began October 1st, and a total of $2.7 trillion at a minimum over the next 10 years.
And that's if all stays the same.
Yeah, that's correct.
And we know that nothing stays the same for even a day in this world.
Oh, my gosh.
Changes so rapidly. We're going to be heading into a break soon, but another thing is on one of the seven risks is inflation.
Yeah, as he told Barron, we're working towards stagflation as characterized by a weaker economy and inflation. During the 80s, we had an obvious occurrence of that. He said the Fed Reserve can put a clamp on it. It lasted for 2 or 3 years back then, and it brought it to a halt. I don't think it'll be terribly different this time, unquote. You know, he added, when inflation goes up to 4 to 5%, it's politically disastrous. That's when it becomes a real issue. When it starts rising, it's already too late in the game to stabilize it.
Well, we all know inflation is probably running around 8, 9, 10%, and the government calls it 2. So when government says it's 4 and 5%, that means inflation is 20 plus. We're heading into a break right now, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems today today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen.
And I'm glad I take your breath away, Melody.
Oh, you do. We're talking about Alan Greenspan, and he's up there, isn't he, in his 90s yet?
Well, he's certainly approaching it if he isn't there, right? Is he in his 90s?
I think he's pretty close, but
is he still married to Andrea?
Yeah, yes. She's getting up there. I see her on the morning programs once in a while, and she has a little bit of a recall problem, but she's got to be up there in her early 80s, I think, too. But
God bless the teleprompter.
I know. Yes. Wish we had one. Wish we had one. Well, go ahead and end the break. We were talking about Alan Greenspan and the seven risks that he sees facing our economy. And you wanted to continue to, we were talking about inflation. What are some of the other ones, Dave?
Yeah, let's just highlight them, and then readers or listeners, you can go to dgscoins.com. Unless you're a current subscriber, you'll get this email to you later today. Just feel free to read it. You'll get some more of his insights along with a little bit of ours. So along with, you know, the budget deficit and inflation, there are decreasing productivity. That's another one of his big concerns. Points out that productivity, as it's, you know, traditionally measured economically, is really it's half of what it had been prior to 5 years ago. There's the bond market bubble, which he's particularly concerned about with the end of the Fed's quantitative easing, thinking that'll force interest rates up, as we know they are, believes that, QE has led to a bond market bubble, making bonds a risky investment, which we certainly agree with. There's also undercapitalized banks. We talked about this a few months ago, he's warned about fragility in our financial system, not just ours, but the global. And, that certain financial innovations that increase risk, there, have been calls for reducing. In fact, the Dodd-Frank bill of 2010, which created certain ratios for our banks, and the purpose was to try to ensure that too big to fail banks would not put us, our nation, and the global economy in the position it did 10 years ago. But Greenspan essentially said, capital reserve requirements for banks, U.S. banks, should be in the range of 20-30% rather than in the range of 5-6% that amended law has them in. And then, last but not least, predictably, he's warning about the ratcheting up of trade wars. Just thinking, we're not going to talk. We talk about that almost every show. But growing tensions with China, Canada, Mexico, and the EU, he believes are certainly, going to result in countries and their citizens being hurt economically. Well, again, while we haven't been big fans of Alan all the time, his wake-up call seems to reflect the views of a growing number of other mainstream experts who see a dangerous economic path forward, one that's fraught with peril as well as opportunity. I mean, we talked last week about David Stockman, who reiterated his prediction of a coming 40% plunge in stock prices. You know, the opportunity, obviously, you know, lies in, you know, being prepared for what we now believe will be an inevitable major paper market reversal and a resulting surge in the prices of gold and silver, platinum and palladium. How do you do that? How do you prepare for that, Melody?
All they have to do is give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. You know, I had several people today looking for lows. Oh, is silver going to do this? Is silver going to break this number? And it's like, it doesn't matter. I mean, I figured out what the difference is. What? So you're saving $20 on a $8,000 order for a box. I mean, it's folks, these are the dips. You take advantage of it. I did some online shopping. Well, I didn't do online shopping. I did some online comparisons on my 1 ounce American Silver Eagles. I was shocked. I'm 30 for boxes of 500. I'm 30 cents lower than APMEX. Usually we run neck and neck. He might be a few cents more. I might be a few cents. You know, 30 cents. That's a lot. It's just not a couple cents. So again, we've got the lowest price around, ladies and gentlemen. And yet, we don't compromise in quality. We don't compromise our service. We don't compromise the truth that we tell you. So again, and the profit that we make goes back into supporting other programs and educational programs. What does anybody else do that sells online? Do they support anyone else? I don't think so. So again, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate your support. We ask that you give us a call. We want to build a relationship with you, and we want to do business the old-fashioned way. We want to earn your business. We want your referrals. And we've been doing it for almost 25 years, so we've been doing something the right way. And we have a lot of very happy and satisfied customers. I don't know of any. You can't please everybody, no matter what you did. I could give them free gold, and they wouldn't be happy. And we got a few of those every now and then over the years. But you know, we don't have complaints. It's all how we handle, you know. And I'm not saying we're perfect, ladies and gentlemen, but it's all how we treat you. We treat you as a human being. We treat you as a person that's trying to preserve your purchasing power. And that's important to you. And that's important to us also. Bonuses and benefits.
Yeah.
You know, we've been talking about now they're Wall Street and Main Wall Street and government is happy and patting themselves on the back that all of a sudden that we're seeing an increase in wages. But, you know, we've certainly have seen paychecks slow to increase amid this so-called robust economic recovery, along with record high corporate profits. But there's still a lot of workers that are frustrated. And recently, a possible theory has emerged. Instead of raising wages, companies are giving out bonuses and adding benefits. I'm not aware of any evidence that shows that bonuses as a general matter are increasing or that they're a substitute for wages. This is from Seth Harris said that. He's a former deputy labor secretary. Average hourly wages rose just 0.5% between September 2017 and September 2018. And that's after accounting for inflation. Of course, this was all by the according to the Labor Department. The White House's massive tax overhaul, which slashed the corporate tax rate to 21%, prompted numerous companies to announce that they would be improving their benefits, and we've heard all about those bonuses that were doled out.
Haven't we, though? Although not too much lately. You know, the insurance company Aflac said it would increase its 401k match. CVS said it's going to absorb the rising cost of health insurance premiums for its employees. You know, at the same time, earlier this year, bonuses were given out by Walmart, AT&T, Darden Restaurants, and dozens of other businesses. However, you know, an analyst said, you know, highly publicized doesn't mean representative or actually taking place across the workforce. You know, indeed, you know, retirement and insurance benefit as a share of workers' compensation has remained flat between 2014 and 2018. That's according to BLS data. You know, in March of this year, paid leave, which includes vacation time, made up 7% of workers' total compensation. That's about the same, a little bit more than a decade earlier. Large companies actually cut back on bonuses this year and plan to do so even more next year. That's according to a new survey from Aon, an insurance broker. That was based on a survey of 1,000 businesses with 5,000 or more employees, Melody.
Well, you know, 90% of workers should have higher take-home pay as a result of the tax cuts, the Vice President of Communications for Americans for Tax Reform said. He also pointed to a list of companies providing new benefits and bonuses in response to the tax cuts. But the reality is that wages, benefits, bonuses are all slow to grow. Workers are still waiting to see a payoff from the recovery. This
keep
is kinda
on plugging, everybody.
Yep. This is kind of interesting. Canada's intelligence agencies listen to Khashoggi's murder tapes. Canada's Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, was the first Western leader to acknowledge that his country's intelligence agencies listened to the recordings of the killing of the Saudi journalist. And Trudeau was spoke in Paris and said Canada has been fully briefed up on what Turkey had to share. And Turkish President Erdogan said that he had given the tapes to some countries, but the Canadian leader is the first to make the announcement. I don't know what that gets you by being the first one to make that announcement, Dave.
It gets you some headlines, I think, is what it gets you. And possibly, maybe it gets him some private calls from other Western leaders who say, hey, you know, we don't have this yet. Can you share it with us? You know.
Only after you deposit a million or two into my offshore bank account.
Yes.
You know, we were talking about wages and we were talking about the bonuses, and, you know, it doesn't seem like a lot of Americans are actually getting any type of rewards from this great economy that we're in. And it seems like more Americans are just finding it hard to get ahead. We've talked about it. You know, we've talked about the small, you know, folks don't have a $400 emergency or a $1,000 emergency saved, and they'd be broke. They're living paycheck and paycheck. And, you know, we continue to hear all the good news about the best economy ever. But, you know, there is a sobering reality is few Americans are able to get ahead. And it's all because of the fiat dollar. Don't get me started on that. But that's
Go ahead.
That's one of the reasons. But they're having a hard time to build real financial security and assets that they can pass on to their children. That's what happens in a fiat money society, fiat currency society. This is what happens. Only the top 10% of American households are getting ahead in both income and wealth. Wages and salaries, again, have not kept up with the rising cost of living. The gains have flowed to capital, which is mostly owned by the top 10%, rather than to labor, which would be wages and salaries. Our financialized economy incentivizes cartels and other rentier skims, structures that raise costs but don't provide any additional value for the additional costs.
Yes, you know, it's instructive to compare today's household with households a few generations ago. You know, as recently as the early 1970s, it's almost a half century ago, it was still possible for a single full-time earner to support the household and buy a home. which in 1973 cost around $30,000. In fact, Melody, I remember my senior year in high school, and showing my age, I remember one of my classmates, her dad, they had just moved into that our town 3 or 4 years earlier, and my friend's father was an insurance agent, and I remember her at a get-together we were having. I don't know why. I guess I just remember it because of this story, that her dad had they just moved into this new development in town. Their house cost $40,000. It was like, you know, wow, $40,000. You know, no one, I mean, all our other homes, you know, our friends were, you know, 20, maybe $25,000, but 40, wow, they must be rich. Well, not quite rich, but, you know, I think points out the statement that, you know, of how possible it was to survive on a single person's salary back then. You know, as recently as 20 years ago, 1998, the median house price in the U.S. had soared to $150,000. It's five times more than the 70s. You know, that's was within, you know, reach of many, if not most, two-earner households, even those with, quote, average jobs. It's a lot different today, folks.
Yeah, when the median house price now is $325,000, yeah. I mean, it's just, and the wages, what are the wages done in those years? I can't believe we're out of time today, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, say good night and God bless. Thank you, Dave.
Bye-bye. Single penny left for me. That's too bad.